Tonight's reading is from the 8th chapter of John, beginning with verse 12. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And then the Pharisees said to him, "You are testifying on your own behalf. Your testimony is not valid." And Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, because I know where I have come from and where I am going, but you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is valid, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is valid. I testify on my own behalf, and the Father who sent me testifies on my behalf. You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also." And he spoke these words while he was teaching in the treasury of the temple, but no one arrested him, because his hour had not yet come. The Gospel of John, as we talked about last week, uses metaphors to explain Jesus' true identity. And so this week, the one before us is, "I am the light of the world." And Jesus says this to the scribes and the Pharisees in the temple, his adversaries, those who are trying to trick him. And they're confused as to who he really is. They judge him by only what they see, by the man who stands in front of them. They don't know his Father. They don't know that they are talking to the Son of God. They don't know what to do when he says, "I am the light of the world." We're familiar with that saying, though, aren't we? We embody it. The acolyte takes the light of Christ out of the sanctuary into the world each Sunday. We light a candle in our meetings so that we can feel Christ's presence. And we sing that cute little song about letting our light shine and not hiding it under a bushel basket. I had a video running when you all came in, which was filmed, as I said, at Washington Cathedral in D.C., and the video portrayed what we often think of when we think of Jesus as the light. Beautiful rays of color dancing across the room. Calm and peaceful. Comforting. But that's not what's going on in the Gospel of John. The phrase, "I am the light," is not a peaceful little statement. Instead, Professor Matt Skinner at Luther Seminary says it is like Jesus saying, "I am the light and you better watch out." Jesus was a threat to those things that hide in the darkness. He exposed injustice and oppression, marginalization and persecution. Jesus fought for justice. Many of us know Micah 6:8 by heart. It's a beautiful verse. It says, "What does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God?" Do we take seriously that call to justice? Do we shine the light of Christ into the darkness, exposing people and systems and institutions that not only hide in the darkness, but thrive in the darkness? We Lutherans, just like many, many, many other Christians, are really, really good at mercy. And thanks be to God for that. We feed the poor. We care for those who have been struck by disasters. We fight malaria. We give kindness and compassion to those who need it most. But how are we with issues of justice? Do we work to change the systems and the traditions that perpetrate injustice? Do we care for those who are hungry and work to stop the hunger? This discussion is not theoretical right now. We live in a world which desperately needs the light of Christ to expose the evil and then to work to fix it. Open any newspaper or any news feed, and you will be flooded by a torrent of sexual accusations in the film industry, media, corporate America, youth sports. We live right off Highway I-20, which has been referred to as the sex trafficking superhighway. That highway supports a $13 billion business that thrives in the shadows of our society. It thrives in the darkness. Systemic issues are present in our mental health systems, our gun control, law enforcement, immigration, and the list goes on and on and on. We are absolutely called to show mercy in each and every one of these situations. Mercy beyond mercy. But we're also called to fight for justice. Because Jesus doesn't just bring light into the darkness. Jesus brings life into the darkness. And life can happen when the abusers and the systems which support them are shut down. Life can happen when cultures of institutionalized dominance are eliminated. Life can happen when laws are passed and enforced which truly care for the least and the lost, the oppressed and the marginalized. But shining light in the darkness is not easy. We often have disagreements about how to approach a situation. We might be worried that if we speak up, we will lose a job, or a friend, or a relationship. We take our stances and we want the other guy to do the compromising. And if it's not impacting me, then I don't really even have to worry about it, do I? Or even, what if I'm associated with one of these organizations, but I'm the good guy? The ELCA now has advocacy teams which focus on systemic injustices in education, immigration, care for creation, peacemaking, the vulnerable, and the list goes on. And they work through political channels on behalf of the biblical values of caring for the least and the lost. And individual congregations have begun to create advocacy teams. And they are not tackling every issue, definitely not. But they are working on the darkness that thrives in their own community, right where God has planted them. They're committing acts of mercy, but they are also committing acts of justice. And I want to leave you with two quick examples tonight. First, the women of the ELCA from more than 6,000 congregations came together at their triennial conventions and committed themselves to raising awareness and working against human trafficking. They will be at the ELCA youth gathering this summer with 30,000 of our youth to share information about ways that the youth can become agents of change in their own communities. The women of the ELCA are shining light into the darkness. And on a smaller scale, I saw this story first on Facebook, but when I tracked it down, it actually came from Reader's Digest. Since the Columbine shooting, every Friday afternoon, a fifth grade teacher asks her students to write down the names of four children that they would like to sit next to the following week. She also asks the students to nominate someone that they think has been an exceptional citizen that week. All ballots are private. And after the students go home, she lays these papers out in front of her and she studies them for patterns. Whose name doesn't appear? Who can't think of anyone to request? Who had a million friends last week, but this week has none? And this teacher is looking for lonely children who are struggling to connect with other children. She's identifying the little ones who are falling through the cracks and discovering whose gifts are going unnoticed by their peers. And she's pinning down right away who is being bullied and who is doing the bullying. And she's shining light and life into the darkness for these children, one child at a time. Jesus says, "I am the light. You better watch out. Because in that light, there is hope and there is life." Amen.